one of the things we must understand that, and we know it's not getting easier out there, amen?
Amen.
It's getting harder. That's all part of God's plan. More evil's being revealed. More evil's being released. And because more evil's being released, he is bringing the church up to another level.
Amen.
And you must go up with the church.
Amen.
His body's going up to another level. Without going up to this other level with the Lord, we get in trouble. One of the things we can't do is get complacent, get lazy, and get comfortable. We got to start getting out of the boat more. Amen. We got to start getting out more. Because God is opening doors. And one of the things that we need to first do is clean up our own house.
Amen.
Then we can clean up our house.
Amen.
And then we can go. Amen.
Amen.
So one of the things the Lord has put on my heart is boundaries of worldliness. And there are boundaries, aren't there?
Yes.
And God always started off with boundaries right from the beginning. And if you'll turn to Acts 17 with me. Hallelujah. The word alive is worth the drive. Glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Acts 17 and verse 22. Can we read this together, please? Acts 17 and verse 22. I know you heard this scripture Friday night, and I got to expound on it because the Holy Spirit said to. Let's read this together. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Now understand something, that there are altars in our life, and God wants to remove them. Because there is such a form of religiosity, and God is trying to get that away. And you know, even though we're spirit-filled believer and walking in the gifts and praying in tongues and so forth, you can still fall into religion.
Yeah.
Amen? Because even though you're spirit-filled, you might not be in the Spirit because you must make a conscious effort to get in the Spirit. Amen? God just doesn't come and snatch you and say, "Okay, you're in the Spirit today," and that's it. No. He says, you have a choice, because Emmanuel means God with us, so we must co-labor with Him. There is a part that we are to play. Amen? So we see here that Paul was walking in this region and he saw all these Greeks, basically, worshipping all sorts of idols, and they had these altars, and there was one that had, and to the unknown God. And this is the one that he wanted to address them to. And he said, "Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you." You know, sometimes it's a difficult thing, proclaiming someone to somebody that they cannot see. Amen. You know, and you know, the world is like going, "Well, we want a sign. We want to know. You know, show us a sign. Give us something. We want power. We want this," or whatever, you know. That's why people are going to New Age and they're going to satanic and occult sources, because of these powers that are manifesting. The problem is they're not really seeking the truth out and not getting into places. And some of the places that they're going into are so bound by religion that they don't even want to go there. I was one myself, brought up in religion. Never saw the power of God. Never even knew about the Holy Spirit, about the baptism of the power of the Spirit of God, knowing about who truly Jesus is, which is just he's the name of the Christ, the Anointed One and His anointing. It's not about a man. It's about the power and the presence of God Almighty and where we must walk in, because we are the offsprings of Him. Amen? Let's go further. Verse 24. Let's read it. "God, who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things." He says He gives to all, believers and unbelievers. I've shared this before. When I had my encounter with the Lord, when I was taken in the Spirit, it was like all these dots were connected. And all these dots were lives, humans. I realized that when I came out, everybody was my brother and sister. And there was one daddy. Because when I had my encounter with the Lord, I met my dad. My true heavenly father. Not my earthly dad. My true dad. The one who loves me. The one who is my father, my mother, my sister, my brother, my friend, and my everything. When I had my encounter with the Lord, all these dots connected. Bam, bam, bam. And I realized, wow, no wonder why they're called the lost. Because they're my lost brothers and sisters without knowing the truth. And they're your lost brothers and sisters without knowing the truth. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. In verse 26, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and he's determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Now understand this. He has pre-appointed times for each and every one. And he has boundaries for their dwelling so that these pre-appointed times can come to pass. Does everybody get it? In other words, you can get a prophecy. All right? You can get a prophecy. Oh, God's going to do this and God's going to do that. Well, let me tell you something. If you're not walking in the will of God, that ain't going to come to pass. People are running around with all these prophecies and nothing's happening. And then they get angry with God why it's not happening, why they're still fornicating, using drugs, doing this and doing that. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there are so many times where it's like somebody wants to give me a word. It's like, man, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. People are running from one place to another trying to get a word from God. If they would just go to their prayer closet and get the word themselves, they wouldn't need it. They would find out if they were going to the services that through the pastor or whoever was preaching or through the evangelist or whatever, they would get confirmation of what God had already told them.
Amen.
Or they would get it in the Word. Amen. Don't get me wrong, I'm not against prophecies. And I'm not saying I don't receive a word. Amen. But we got to stop looking for the Word and going to the Word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Going to Him. So that we can have that relationship with Him. Because you know what happens then? People get caught up and start traveling people else's shirt tails. And then they fall, and they try and duplicate somebody else instead of what God has for them. And they get into different ministries which God's not called them into. And they're never fulfilling the will of God. Amen? So we see that there are pre-appointed times and boundaries for our dwelling. So you got to understand that these pre-appointed times is a part of that DNA, spiritual DNA that's been imparted in me and you before we even were. There was a plan of God and a will of God that was imparted in me and you before we were even created. It was before even creation was created. God already had this set up. Everybody is predestined, aren't we? We're predestined to be conformed in the image and likeness of God, but is everybody going to? No. Because there's some awesome gift that He's given me and you, and it's called freedom of choice. That He doesn't take away. He doesn't take away. Now, I share with people, I said, you know, you can pray the perfect will of God for somebody, and you can do all the praying, and God will cause circumstances in their life so that they will come to Him. But that person still has a choice to come to Him. Does everybody get it? Some people go, man, you know, I don't understand. I've been praying. Well, that individual still has a free will. Why hasn't it happened yet? Give God a break. Trust Him. Circumstance. You don't understand. That person may get saved on their deathbed. You have no idea. They may never fulfill the perfect will of God in their life, but at least they'll make it home. And we've got to look at the eternal part. Not just the temporary part. Amen? Praise God. So we see here that there are pre-appointed times and boundaries so that these pre-appointed times can be fulfilled. And I use this analogy a lot, like if a quarterback, ooh, sometimes it's painful to be a quarterback. Sometimes when you go back for a pass, no. and your wide receiver doesn't do the right pattern, there is no connection, is there? Amen? So without making that connection, if somebody's going in the wrong place, nothing happens. But when both are in the right place and the quarterback knows exactly where to throw and the receiver is there, there's a connection and there's a score. Something happens. And you and I must be in the right place at the right time so we don't miss God. That's why He has set boundaries for me and you. There's no coincidence that you're here tonight. There's no coincidence that the Holy Spirit has said, Guy, I want you to preach on this tonight. Because He's trying to bring us into these boundaries. Amen? So that we can get more wisdom and knowledge, because things are going to get harder. And there's going to be more deception out there. And you're going to have more discernment, more wisdom, more understanding, more fellowship, more in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In verse 27. Now listen. So He says that He has pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings in verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. For in Him we live, move, and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offsprings. So we are His offsprings, aren't we? So we see here that there are these boundaries that are predetermined for me and you so that there can be contacts with God. Amen? And, you know, we're such right now on the cutting edge of so many things that are happening. And one of the things that the devil wants to do is get somebody out of the flock, out of the body. A lone ranger. He'll be alone. And he'll be on the wrong range. Because God desires that we have fellowship. You know, so many people are saying, yeah, I can do it on my own. You can't. None of us can. Even the men of God that have powerful ministries right now cannot do it on their own. There is somebody or some people that they're fellowshipping with, because in the multitude of counsel there is safety and wisdom. How are we going to know about these boundaries? If you're not in fellowship, when you're missing something and you're blinded to something, how would you know unless somebody told you? Amen? Yes, we're all our brother's keepers. Fellowship is an important factor. Jesus fellowshipped, didn't He? And there was times when He went off by Himself to get refreshed, to have fellowship with God, and then He brought back in fellowship with His disciples. This is supposed to be a family. It's too bad there's so much division in the body of Christ because of theology, because of religion. But we got to keep praying that the Spirit of the Lord bring revival to melt these walls of denominations. Amen. So that unity can come. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Genesis 31 and verse 51? I just want to show you an example here. Laban is Jacob's father-in-law. Of course, we know he got burned, right? But of course, he burned, so he had to reap what he sowed, didn't he? Yeah. There's another spiritual law, but we're not talking about spiritual laws tonight. We're talking about boundaries. In verse 51, then Laban said to Jacob, here is this heap and here is this pillar which I have placed between you and me. Now, heap of stones. Okay, which is a representation. They used to use these stones and pillars as boundaries in the Old Testament. In 52 it says, and this heap is a witness, and this pillar is a witness, that I will not pass beyond this heap to you, and you will not pass beyond this heap and this pillar to me for harm. Now, they set these pillars of stone in this and this heap of stone and this pillar so that they knew their boundaries. Now, boundaries are a representation of borders or territory. Amen? So they were sectioned off so that people knew exactly where not to go and knew how far they could go. So even in the Old Testament, these boundaries, and we can even go back a little further if you don't mind, we'll go back a little further. Let's go. These were known as landmarks, territory, or boundaries, okay, or borders. Let's go back to let's go back to Genesis 2. Genesis 2, right from the beginning. Now we know that Adam and Eve, Adam was known as the Son of God. He was one of God's first son. But he wasn't the only begotten son. Amen. But if you'll look in the genealogy of the history of Jesus, you'll find that he goes all the way back and calls Adam the Son of God. In verse chapter 2 and verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into him his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And in verse 8 it states that the Lord God planted a garden. Who planted the garden? God planted the garden. Must have been a beautiful garden if he planted it. Had to be high class, man. Had to be right. I'm telling you, you probably walked in the garden, you could hear the flowers. There was praise and worship going on in this garden all the time. See, we got to get out of the natural and get into the supernatural and look through the eyes of the Spirit so that we can see. Because He is perfect. He is perfect. And what He creates is perfect. Ooh. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you go to verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. So we got to understand something, that God didn't create Adam in the garden. He created him out of the garden and took him and put him into the garden and set him in boundaries, didn't he? Okay. In verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Amen? So God planted the garden for Adam. He established living quarters or boundaries that would maintain a relationship, that would maintain a place for Adam to learn so he could grow, and so that trust can be established. Does everybody get it? So God put Adam into his facility of a garden. Gorgeous, beautiful. I mean, he even sent the animals to him, that when he created the animals, he said, here, Adam, you name them. Right? Now he established this place for a relationship with his son, so that he can train him up his way, so that he can learn to trust him and give him more, and so he can walk in his image and likeness and have a family and generation and kingdom after himself. Because you got to understand that when God created the heavens and the earth and he created the heavenly host, his right-hand man, Lucifer, betrayed him. He was the highest-ranking angel. And the angels were known as sons of God then. So when that realm fell, God created man, didn't he? Now what would happen is we became a tested citizenship. Hallelujah. So we see that there were external boundaries, and then God established a law for an internal boundary. Does everybody understand that? In other words, he placed them in the garden as an external boundaries. And he said, now Adam, you can't eat this tree. You can't eat this fruit. So what did he do? In the boundaries, he established internal boundaries. And in me and you, there are eternal internal boundaries and external boundaries that affect our life. We can call these laws. But they were laws, weren't they? They were laws for protection. Go to Proverbs 23, please. Oh, hallelujah. External and internal boundaries. Now, we must also understand it when we go beyond these boundaries. He said, if you do this, you're going to what? Surely die. Okay, Proverbs 23. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Good. And verse 10. Proverbs 23 and verse 10. Let's read this together, please. 10 and 11. Do not remove the ancient landmark, nor enter the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty. He will plead their cause against you. So the Lord has set up boundaries so that if we are established in these boundaries, we are protected, aren't we? And if somebody tries to cross these boundaries on our side, God takes care of them, doesn't he? So this is this hedge of protection that is around me and you. In fact, Job had a hedge of protection around him, didn't he? When Satan went to the Lord, and the Lord said, what do you think about my servant Job? And Job said, yeah, right. I can't even get to him. You got a hedge of protection around him. Of course, God allowed Job to be tormented by Satan because God was actually tormenting Satan because he knew that Job would stand. And the greatest thing that torments Satan and his kingdom is obedient children.
Amen.
Does everybody understand why God allowed that with Job? That's a whole teaching. But anyway. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go down. So we see here that the Lord established boundaries for protection and for safety. There are permanent boundaries and there are temporary boundaries. As one is entrusted and learned, their boundaries can expand, can't they? The Bible says he was faithful with a little, well what? Get more. Amen. So, in this, we understand that there are temporary and permanent boundaries. Let me give you an example, and I love using my little girl as an example. She has allocated boundaries. Unfortunately, as a 14-year-old, 14-month, you do a lot of saying no. No, 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 good girl. No, 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 good girl. No, 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 good girl. So there is a lot of boundaries being established, and they don't know them unless you tell them. Amen. So, and as she is trusted with certain boundaries, knowing that she won't go into the bathroom and open up the cupboards or go fishing in the toilet, you know, you allow that child to get more boundaries. Amen. And God does the same thing with us. There are temporary boundaries. And as we are trusted with and we are found faithful with these temporary boundaries, he expands more of them. Amen. Same thing in ministries and same thing in your individual life. Same thing with finances. The Bible says he doesn't give you any more than you can handle. That means good and bad. Okay? And sometimes he takes things away because we've handled something incorrectly or we've done things that have not earned his trust or brought a mistrust with him. And so he's closed in our boundaries again, hasn't he? And he says, okay, let's try this again. And I'll expand your boundaries, but let's bring this in a little closer. You know, people come into the discipleship house because, and there are disciples. And God said, disciple all men. Well, when you and I were out there serving the devil, God was trying to bring us into boundaries because he was trying to bring us to a pre-appointed time for us, wasn't he? And you know how many people have come across our path trying to bring us to the Lord? And we said, no way. No way. No way. Man, you're religious nut, you. Get that Jesus away from me. And then all of a sudden, you know, we get bound up by drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, and then we come to Jesus. And then people say, oh yeah, from drugs to Jesus now.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Right? But he was the only one who didn't reject us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know what happened? Those boundaries brought us right to him.
Amen.
Only God used the devil's boundaries to bring us to him. You know, we had to get so low that there were no more boundaries. We finally go like, ah! So we see that even these boundaries that God has given us can be taken away. So what happens is then we come into closer quarters where there are boundaries. You know what? When people come in, especially to the discipleship house and so forth, when the men come in, and it's good because what happens is, you know, we can cry grace, 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 but we trampled grace. So now we have to come back under the law, which is our establishing boundaries, isn't it? When you and I go out and do the things we shouldn't do, we got to come, we trample the grace, we got to come back under the law so that grace can be reestablished again. Amen? But so it's okay to come back under the law. Now, I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about law. In other words, God laying down the law. When people come into the discipleship house, there is a set of rules that we must abide by. And as people earn the trust of the office, they're given more freedom. In other words, more boundaries. Amen? But God establishes a boundary for something to happen in our life because he desires to promote us. And he's not going to promote you until you've completed the one area that he's established you in the boundaries. If you go beyond that, you are self-promoting. And you will bring shame to the name of the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
And that's why there are self-imposed evangelists, self-imposed pastors, self-imposed, all of these other, and they're not doing the right things. They've been approved by man, but not by God. And there's a difference. I'd rather be ordained by God and have three people.
Amen.
Hello? That's what we started with, me, mom, and my wife. Started with me, myself, and I. Hallelujah. But praise be to God. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis 3. In verse 21, Genesis 3. Hallelujah. In Genesis 3 and verse 21. Is everybody there? Now we know that Adam and Eve blew it, right? Hallelujah. Let's read it together. In verse 21. Also, for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now let me share something with you. God was getting ready to remove them from those boundaries. So they were getting ready to enter a new establishment, a new realm. A realm that was being closed to them to a new realm that was being opened to them. Because God does not dwell with sin. Alright? So they blew it. Alright? They blew it. God had to shut down the garden, and he had to remove Adam from that because he would have had access to the tree of life, and we'll read this on. But the first thing that happens is he redresses them, and this is something that he wanted to teach them because Adam and Eve saw God kill the animal. So that they could carry on the righteous thing to do. Because you got to understand something. In the Garden of Eden, and we've shared this before, that their spirit, soul, and body were one. Adam did not have blood. the animals did. Because the life of the flesh was in the spirit. When Adam fell, he put on a fallen nature. Because God said, if you eat of this, you will surely die. He did die. Spiritually died. And because a spiritual death came, something had to sustain the flesh. And that's where blood came. Now, their blood was contaminated with sin, wasn't it? So God showed them. He killed an animal, and he took the fig leaves off of them, and he clothed them with the animal skin, representing sacrifice, bringing reconciliation. Blood. 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 From that point on, everything was, all life was in the blood. Amen? So that changed the whole transition, didn't it? The garden was closed. They were polluted with sin. And eventually it was going to affect nature, wasn't it? Well, the one thing is they became under another ruler now, didn't they? Satan now ruled the earth because he conned them. And Satan is still the ruler of the earth now. He's just really the leaseholder. God owns the earth. But see, when we come under Christ, we are under that blood. We're not under Satan, we're under Christ.
Amen.
Amen. But we still live in a world who's ruled by Satan, the government and everything else. Let's go on in verse 22. Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like us, to know good and evil, and now lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. So God did not want them to live forever, did he? No, because they were fallen. And he didn't want that state to live forever. So he removed them, but he prepared them. He dressed them before he sent them out because he's a loving father. Amen. 23, therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed a cherubim at the east of the gate of Eden, of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So no one had access to the tree of life anymore because of this fallen state. Amen. So we see here that God dressed Adam and Eve for another way because they went over the boundaries. They broke the internal boundaries that affected their external boundaries. Does everybody get it? They broke the internal boundaries that affected their external boundaries. And now they had to enter another habitation with different boundaries, rules, and living. All of these, they had to totally endure a whole other realm. I mean, God supplied everything now, prior in the garden. Now they had to work for it. Everything changed. They were now, some of the results was loss of fellowship. And this is what happens when we break boundaries. Loss of fellowship. Another way of learning, on-the-job training. They had to learn by their mistakes, didn't they? And here God wanted to teach them right in the garden, didn't he? He wanted to teach them face to face and teach them and walk with them right in the garden. Now they had to go through trials and tribulations to learn. And we're still going through that, aren't we? That's why he says, count it all joy. That's because they walked out of their internal, they disobeyed their internal boundaries. They walked out of their internal boundaries in the garden. It affected their external boundaries. And you and I are still paying the price for it. It's unfortunate that when we mess up in our internal boundaries, others are still paying the price for our external boundaries. Amen? So these results of these walking beyond the boundaries or disobedience of these boundaries was loss of fellowship, another way of learning, separation or death. And of course, under another ruler. Amen. So God has these boundaries for me and you to maintain under Him, so that these pre-appointed times with Him would bring health, prosperity, fellowship, truth, all of these things, and witness of His great power and who He is. Turn to Deuteronomy 5, please. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 1, let's read this together. And Moses called all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your hearing today, that you may learn them and be careful to observe them." That you may what? Learn them and be careful to observe them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord did not make this covenant with our fathers, but with us, those who are here today, all of us who are alive. The Lord talked with you face to face on the mountain from the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to declare to you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid because of the fire, and you did not go up to the mountain. And He said, now, understand, God was reestablishing boundaries by His law. What was He trying to do? He was trying to reestablish boundaries because He knew that the world was still wicked, under the rule of the wicked one. And He wanted to set boundaries to separate His chosen people from under the rule of the wicked one. All right? And number 7, which is, and we can go through some of these. This was His first rule. You shall not serve other gods before me, right? Let's see. In verse 11, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Number 12, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. Verse 16, honor your father and your mother. These are all the Ten Commandments, right? Number 17, you shall not murder. Verse 18, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, and you shall not desire neighbor's house, his field, his male servant, his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything else that is in your neighbor's, that is of your neighbor's. So we see here these were commandments that God had given through Moses to His people to set boundaries. Amen? Now you got to understand, these laws were for internal boundaries. Does everybody get it? These were internal boundaries so that we can walk right before God. Let's go a little further. No, let's go to Deuteronomy 11. There's the Ten Commandments. In verse 22. For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to hold fast to Him. Who's responsible to hold fast to Him? We are. Then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Wow. So what is He saying? Listen, if you obey what I've given you, if you will walk in these internal boundaries, I'm going to expand your external boundaries. Does everybody get it? What did He say? I'm going to destroy those nations coming against you. And I'm going to send you into promised lands. And verse 24. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even the western sea shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as He has said to you. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I commanded you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you to do today, to go after other gods which you have not known. So what did He do? He set boundaries, didn't He? He set internal boundaries that would affect our external boundaries. Amen? Now, we must understand, why does God set these boundaries? In Hosea 4:6 it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." God sets these boundaries for His glory, for our protection, right? He sets these boundaries so that we can enter an eternal realm also. Now, we got to know that, you know, when we tell a child, don't do this, don't do that, they want to know why. They want to know why, don't they? I mean, you just can't keep going up to somebody and saying, don't do this and don't do that. They got to want, they got to know why. And God allows us to know why. Number one, He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 3, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So we understand that the ruler of this world is who? The God of this age. So when people are not obeying His doctrine, it's because they are blinded. So can you believe part of it and not the rest? Yes, because there's blind spots there. Do you understand that? Well, the only one that's preventing you or anyone from receiving the fullness of what God has done for me and you is because they're blinded. And that's where religion gets fallen into place, isn't it? That's where doctrines of men get sent down. Well, man, I just don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I don't believe in tongues, and I don't believe in the gifts, and I don't believe in it. And it's too bad. Because they're blinded. Because Jesus made a great price for me and you on the cross to receive the fullness of God. And then we get caught up in our own religiosity. People fall right back under the law and lose fellowship with God. And then when they walk around and say, well, let's see, I didn't do this today. I didn't sin. I obeyed the Ten Commandments. And they have no fellowship with God. Amen? And that turns out to be religion. And they end up falling. Sometime they'll end up falling. Amen? Whether it's spiritually backslidden or whatever. Hallelujah. So we got to understand that you and I are not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers of darkness according to Ephesians 6:12. Principalities, powers of darkness, wickedness in heavenly places, right?
Right.
Hallelujah. So if our fight's against the powers of darkness, the devil would like to tell us he's not involved in our life. And he'd like to tell us we don't need the word, we don't need the fellowship, we don't need to know the truth, we don't need all these things. You just do what you got to do, and as long as you're a good person, you'll be all right. You know how many good people are going to hell? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please turn to James 4. James chapter 4. Glory to God. You know, there are people who still don't believe in healing. Hallelujah. And of course, in what they don't understand, they call not God. Because they don't have fellowship in the Spirit and don't know how to rightly divide the Word.
Amen.
Because the author of the Word of God is the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. But all things are possible to those who believe. Hallelujah. James 4, verse 4. Let's read it together. Adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Ooh, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow. So God has set these boundaries for me and you not to walk into the ways of the world, but in the ways of the Spirit of God. Amen? Why? Because when you start walking back into the ways of the world, you become an enemy of God. And it's not that he's trying to be an enemy. Do you understand that? It's not like, oh, okay, that's it. I'm going to kick his. That's not how God is. God is graceful. What happens is you get caught involved in circumstances and hope that you'll come back into the ways. Amen. In other words, let me tell you something. When you fall out of those boundaries, the devil's waiting for you. Oh, he's waiting. He's just waiting. I mean, you got to understand something. You and I were all demon-possessed at one time. Demon-possessed doesn't mean that you just foam at the mouth. It means that they were in us. They were in us. And when God delivered us, those devils claim your house. They still claim your body as their house. To the day you die, they still want to come back in. That's why I share with people. People have been bound by drugs and alcohol for a long time and whatever, and they pick up cigarettes and so forth. They struggle. It's hard. Because they're picking up things of the world again, aren't they? They've gone beyond those boundaries, haven't they? They've gone beyond these boundaries, and it makes it difficult. Somebody, the devil will try to convince somebody, well, I'll just have one drink, and the guy's been an alcoholic for a long time. You know where he goes? He's back. Why? Because he went beyond that boundary. There are things that you and I can never touch again. Never. Well, I've been freed. I've been delivered for a long time. 30 years I've been delivered. I can't have a glass of wine with dinner? Go ahead. Bonehead. Go ahead. See what happens. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. The devil will have that person convinced he can have a glass of wine with every dinner, now lunch, then breakfast. They have whiskey and Rice Krispies after 2 weeks. And he'll be telling his wife, it ain't nothing, honey. That's where that new cereal came from, didn't it? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Remember that commercial, if you ever see it again, nothing, honey, you know where it came from. Where is that dude? Oh, I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, right? Thank you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, somewhere in here. Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to God. In verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now he states a boundaries. He said, look, I'll walk with you. You'll be my people. I'm not going to walk with you. I'll walk in you, walk through you, and I'll use you to bring glory to my name. I'll bless your socks off. But there's something I'm asking you to do. That's what therefore means. Now let's read it. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now go to the next verse. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting the holiness in the fear of God. So what is he asking us? He's saying, come out from among them. Come out from the boundaries. Come back into the boundaries that I've established and set for you, so that you no longer come under the authority of the powers of darkness and of this world. Because friendship with this world, friendship with that TV will kill you. Amen? You know, I mean, that TV is nothing but a cloning device. Now, I'm not against TV. I watch it every once in a while myself. But there are people who sit in front of that TV and get involved in soap operas, and then they want their household to be like that instead of godly ways. They watch all of these demonic things. You know, whatever. I'm not going to go fully into it, but those are boundaries that we must know. Does everybody get it? Boundaries. There are internal boundaries that the Spirit is trying to bring to us and bring understanding, isn't He? So God is trying to tell us something, isn't He? There's a reason why He wants us to walk into these boundaries. In Matthew 16:26, He says, "What good is it to gain all the things of the world and lose your soul?" So we know that by walking in these boundaries, there's an eternal effect, isn't there? Go to Revelation 3. Hallelujah. Revelation 3. Praise you, Lord. In Revelation 3 and verse 21 and 22. Let's read this together. "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." So we see that there's an eternal reward. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." That's to us, isn't it? So we see that there is an eternal reward. Now, this inner boundaries I want to talk about a little bit. And let's go to Romans 12. Remember, we shared that internal boundaries affect your external boundaries, don't they? Hallelujah. Romans 12. Glory, hallelujah, glory. In verse 1 and 2, let's read this together, please. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So we see that something must happen. We must renew our mind. That's a part of that internal boundaries. Does everybody get it? The Bible tells us that we're not to love the world. In 1 John 12:15, we're not to love the world, nor the things of the world. Because if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in Matthew 13:22, and I'm just going to share some of these things with you. The Word tells us that the cares of this world choke the seed of God in us. The cares of this world choke it. So if you have more cares of this world, now you got to understand something. These cares and love is internal. Does everybody get it? These are internal boundaries that you and I, in other words, we must be careful not to go beyond these boundaries, to love the things of the world more than we love God, to not be so, not have more cares of the world because they choke the ways of God in us. Amen? That's why God did something in John 16, if you'll go there, please. John 16. John 16 and verse 7. "And some of his disciples said among themselves, what is this?" Wait a minute. Wrong one. In verse 7, sorry. John 16, verse 7. "Nevertheless," this is Jesus speaking, I tell you the truth. Well, let me tell you something. If Jesus said, "Listen, I'm telling you the truth," he obviously wanted their attention because Jesus didn't lie. "It is to your advantage that I go away." Of course, that blew the disciples' minds. They did not understand that walking with Jesus, seeing all these miracles happening and so forth, and they believed in Jesus and were wondering why he would say, "Why is it to our advantage that you leave? We want you here with us all the time." But he shared with them, "Listen, it's to your advantage that I leave, because I love you so much that I don't want to walk with you anymore. I want to walk in you. Okay. Now look, let's go on. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. And when he has come, he will, what? Convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now because they couldn't understand the things of the Spirit. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. So without fellowship in the Holy Spirit, how are you going to know things to come? Now, not that God reveals his whole plan to us, does he? No, then we wouldn't be walking in faith, and then we wouldn't need him. Hello? Because we have that kind of character, don't we? Okay, God, thanks for everything. I'll talk to you when I get done. So what he does is he doesn't reveal his whole will to us because we must prove his will by walking it out. But he does tell us things to come by conviction. Because he says, I sent my Spirit so that you would be convicted. The problem is that's an internal boundary. Conviction keeps us in line. Just like when you tell a child or someone, no, don't touch that. No, don't do that. But if you're not fellowshipping in the Spirit with God, you're not sensitive to that conviction and you're walking out of those boundaries. And even when you hear that conviction, you can still have a free choice to say no. Amen? In verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So he's talking about a pre-appointed time. That if you're walking in these boundaries, he's going to declare it to you. His promises. But if you're not walking in these boundaries, see now what is he saying? Listen, if you're walking in these eternal boundaries, I'm going to establish your external boundaries. Does everybody get it? So when we get that conviction by this internal boundary, we must be obedient or that external boundary will start to be closed in. It will shorten up. In verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So that pre-appointed time that he has set for us is for to declare the promise of God for me and you so that glory can come to his name and so that our boundaries can be expanded. But if we're not taking heed of the internal boundaries in us, we will go beyond the boundary and we will walk out of the hedge of protection from God and the devil is waiting. He is waiting, full guns, full force, especially those who have been walking in the boundaries. Oh, he waits. Hallelujah. You know, in these boundaries now, it says the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment to keep us in line, right? Now go to Hebrews 4. Hallelujah. We're still talking about these internal boundaries. In verse 12, can we read this together? For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and marrow. Now you got to understand, he's talking about the soul, the spirit, and the body. And is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So I want you to understand something. God has established the boundaries for your spirit, for your soul, and for your body. Does everybody get it? In other words, in your soul, you have three parts to your soul. You have a mind, emotions, and a will. Mind, emotions, and a will. So There are boundaries that you and I have to be careful of thoughts, feelings, and choices. Thoughts, feelings, these are internal boundaries that you and I must be sensitive to, of thoughts, feelings, and choices. Those establish our internal boundaries. Does everybody understand that? Thoughts, feelings, and choices. Because what you think and what you feel can affect your choice. Unless you're in the Spirit and the Spirit is telling you what's to come. Then that feeling and that thought will not affect you. Does everybody get it? Because you're staying in the boundaries. Because He's already showed you ahead of time. Now He can speak to us through dream or vision, through His Word, through a quickening, through someone else, through prophecy, through the gifts, right? And also He can speak to us through impression or conviction. Don't go there. You know, He can be getting ready to go do something. He'll say, don't go there. You'll know. You'll know. You know, in other words, with my baby, with my little girl, there are certain things I know I can't show her now. Even though I'd like to show her. But I can't show her now. And the Holy Spirit quickens me and says, don't do that now, guy. Because she's not intelligent enough to handle it. Amen? I wouldn't try and bring her out to a car and try and show her out. She couldn't even reach the pedals. So there are certain boundaries, right? But these internal boundaries are that we have to be careful of our thoughts, our feelings, and our choices. Because every choice that you make is either going to affect an eternal life or an eternal death. Every choice you make affects life or death. Every single choice. Because the choice that you make could move you out of a boundary and can affect somebody else also, can it? Amen? Hallelujah. So, I want to share, now these internal boundaries that we just talked about of thoughts, feelings, and choices affect an external boundary of people, places, and things. Does everybody get that? They affect an external boundary of people, places, and things. In other words, where your boundaries are set forth in you, if you're going over the boundaries, you can tell by your own fruit. Actually, somebody else can tell too. The next thing you know, you're going to places you shouldn't, and you're hanging around with people you shouldn't, and now you're touching things that you shouldn't. Because it all started with an internal boundary that we've gone over by resisting the conviction of the Spirit, the thought, or whatever it may be. See, listen, this new level that God is bringing us up to and the church up to, you've got to be more sensitive to these internal boundaries. Because it's going to affect your external boundary. And it's going to affect your life and others. Amen? Now, we know that, and I'm just going to share this with you. In 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul said, well, let's turn there so you know. 1 Corinthians 10:23, 23. 1 Corinthians 10:23. So do you understand the purpose of fellowship also? So that you know if you're blinded to something, somebody else can share with you. Yes. Because they're the ones seeing your fruits. Usually when you're blinded, you ain't seeing your own fruit.
Yeah.
Unless you're really taking time with God. Hallelujah. And 1 Corinthians 10, what did I say, 23? Mm-hmm. Let's read this together. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So it doesn't mean if somebody's smoking, they're going to hell. Does everybody understand that? If you choose to pick up cigarettes again, doesn't mean you're going to hell. But it isn't edifying, is it? It's not edifying. So there are things that everyone, not only is there a permanent boundary that God has set in us, but there are temporary boundaries so that we can, some things some people can do that I can't. God has got a standard of boundaries for His people, but then there are individual boundaries. Right? And that all depends on how close you want to get to God. Like that one person that has that one glass of wine with their dinner, and that's all they do, and they're not alcoholics, and they may have that one glass of wine with their dinner. It's not sin to them, but for some of us it would be sin, wouldn't it?
Amen.
Amen. But depending on how close you want to get to God depends on what are the world you're willing to give up. So if that I don't know of any man or woman of God that sits down and drinks a glass of wine with dinner. You know, that's a powerful man or woman of God. So all things are, what do we say that was? All things are lawful, but they're not edifying. So God has an appointed time for something to come your way. Because if you try and get it before that appointed time, it will not be edifying. It will become a stumbling block to you. That's why people go out before God, don't they? They try and find that woman for them. Or that man. Oh, man, they're out hunting for a mate. They're out hunting, man. I need me a woman. I need me a man to fulfill my desire. Well, man, if you get in your closet, God will fulfill your desire.
Amen.
You won't need that other individual until God brings it across your path at that appointed time. Because you'll go beyond those boundaries. And let me tell you, you'll struggle.
Amen.
Then you'll go, man, I thought this was God. Thank God all things work to the good that love Him, huh? Same thing in businesses. You know, internal. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Anxiousness is within, isn't it? Let me share something with you. When you begin to get anxious, you're going beyond those boundaries. That's a warning sign. It's like electricity going up barbed wire. Anxiousness is telling you, no. Be anxious for nothing. Oh, man, I'm... And then we try to use the excuse for to be excited when you're anxious. The devil tries to convince you, oh, you're just excited about it. It's okay, go ahead. No, anxiousness is you're touching the boundaries. You're touching. Worry, you're touching. Fear, you're touching. Does everybody get it? You're getting ready to go beyond the boundary. Anxiety, stress, anger. All of these things. Remember, the devil pushes you. The Holy Spirit leads you. The devil's trying to push you. Hallelujah. Oh, what does the devil start doing? Reminding you of your past. Don't you remember all those great parties you went to? Man, you're touching it. See, so we've got to be sensitive and understanding and the conviction of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going, man, don't go there. Don't go there. Cast down that thought of imagination. Put your mind on the things of above. So see, you and I have a choice of where we're going to direct our thoughts, don't we? Not saying that stuff's going to come in, it's going to, but what you going to do with it? Same thing with these feelings. When these feelings start coming, you're touching the barbed wire fence, those boundaries. So these are all signs these are internal boundaries that are imparted in me and you for to be sensitive so that we know not to go beyond these boundaries. When we're touching these things and these things are beginning to manifest, man, we need help. We need help. And if you're still struggling with it and it lasts more than that day or more than that hour, you need to call someone to pray with. Remember, Jesus came to bring life and life more abundantly. He set these things for me and you. The Bible tells us that the path is narrow, isn't it? And difficult. And it is getting narrow. That boundary, let me tell you, you'll find that the internal boundaries will begin to squeeze in closer and closer because God is purging you and pruning you to bear more fruit. Things that you were able to do last year, He's telling you don't do them no more.
Yes.
Come on. But Lord, you don't do that no more. Because those boundaries are starting to get closer. Because that path is getting narrower. You used to have fellowship with some people and they say, no more. Come out. That's enough. Because he wants you to get closer. He wants to get closer to you. Amen? Oh, praise God. I think we covered a lot. Praise God. Now, we also know that, we got to also know that in Galatians 5:19, it tells us what the outward appearance is. Those who practice such things, those who practice such things will not enter the kingdom of God. So you can be a believer. If you're practicing these things, you're not going home. Let's turn to it. Galatians 5:19. You know, the Lord says, you can't drink the cup of demons and the cup of his table. Right? You can't serve the world and serve him. You can't have two masters. Galatians 5:19. I have one more scripture and we're done. Hallelujah. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, people just don't understand. God is a righteous judge. He's a righteous God. He's a holy God. And he's a grace and merciful God, isn't he? And it's not always how you begin your walk, it's how you end it. Amen? Now, in this arena of these internal boundaries, you know, like in a basketball game, they have the inner court right in the basket where you can't stay in there for 3 seconds or you get penalized. It's a 3-second penalty. That we have internal in us. When the Spirit, when you're in there and these thoughts and these feelings and things that are coming to you, there's a 3-second bam. It's like the Holy Spirit's going, come on. Come on. Don't get in there. Come on. Don't get in there. Don't get in there. Get out of that three. Don't let that thing bring you out. Don't entertain that thought. Don't entertain that feeling. Don't make that choice. Get out of that. You got that 3-second in that arena, in that middle where the foul line is in that basketball court, which is danger. Danger. And the Holy Spirit quickens us to those things. So just kind of remember that. You don't want to get a 3-second penalty. Hallelujah. And let's go to Ephesians 3. Now, I want to share one other thing. When you get influenced by the world, again, 7 things happen. The influence of the world destroys the influence of truth that you've learned. Does everybody get it? When you start going beyond those boundaries and you begin to get entangled, it influences the truth that you've learned. It begins to quench it and tries to erase it. Does everybody get it? It leads to false security because we begin to get secure in our own ways, in our own strength, our own job, our own finances, whatever. So it brings a false security when we get entangled in the world again. It makes earthly affections more of a priority, doesn't it? Oh man, you know, I want to hang out with my friends instead of going to a Bible study or service or whatever, taking time. Well, I think I'll read this popular mechanics book instead of the Word tonight. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not wrong with getting research and so forth. And I read some of the other books and whatever. But when the Spirit is telling you something and you're laying it down and picking up something else, you're going beyond those boundaries. It brings false plans to a life. In other words, instead of our our plan that God has imparted in us of serving Him and bringing glory to His name. Now we just have a plan of being prosperous or whatever. And sometimes the devil will try and convince us, well, yeah, you're going to do it for the kingdom of God, but he set a trap and a snare for us, knowing that you won't, that when you get these finances, because it's not God's time, that you'll end up spending it on other things and sucking yourself right back into the world. It leads to rebellion, right? It leads to false worship, and it leads to death. Seven things. Destroys influence of the truth, leads to false security, makes earthly affections more of a priority, brings false plans of a life, leads to rebellion, leads to false worship, and leads to death. Ephesians 3:16, this is it. No, we'll start at 14. Start at 14. Let's read it together. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church, to by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, take heed of those inner boundaries. It's important because the church is moving up to another standard. More evil is being released in the world. And you must walk in this other state of being closer to God, being more sensitive to the things of God, and more sensitive to the things of darkness. Amen? It's important. Listen to the Spirit's conviction and guidance and these boundaries within. Don't be caught up on the things without, or you'll be without. Amen? Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I'm asking that you will strengthen our inner man and make us so sensitive to these inner boundaries and through the conviction and counsel and correction and direction of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just surrender all things to you. We plead the blood of Jesus on this seed that's been imparted. And we ask, Lord, that this seed will grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that you'll bring us closer to you and give us the strength, Lord, to prove your will. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And to God be the glory.